You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody, to another live broadcast of TPC. I'm your host, James Edwards, and we're back on the road tonight in the upcountry of South Carolina. Now, these shows over the course of the last 3 years have not only become my favorite. If I had to pick a single favorite show of the year, it's the show from South Carolina. Sometimes we do two because we were here for a book signing back in April. Having been here so many times, I think this is our sixth or seventh show here in the past 3 years, we have begun to develop some traditions. And as we are back in our favorite place, our home away from home in South Carolina, one of the things we like to do is we like to close every show we do here with a group singing of Dixie. And what a group we have assembled tonight. I wish this was television, not radio, so you could see through my eyes what I am seeing, these beautiful people, and a lot of them. But we don't just like to close the show with Dixie. We like to start the show with the Rebel Yell. Now, I'm going to ask my friends here tonight to give us a Rebel Yell so loud that they can hear it in Columbia. A Rebel Yell so loud that it shakes the foundation of that pole that our flag came down from, but that it will go up again one day. And if we believe that, let's let them hear it. One, two, three, Rebel people. They don't want to stop once they start. Give yourselves a big round of applause, everybody. You have made your ancestors proud. I believe it. I believe that I can win with this particular group. And yell like furies, as Stonewall Jackson instructed our forebears and our betters. But it is great to be back in South Carolina tonight. We get so many emails after we do these shows. I have a collection of them from last year's program. Here's just one example. We were here last year on July the 9th. This is July the 8th. Your show on July the 9th, 2022, was on steroids. No wonder this bought and paid for regime hates white Christians so much. Cowards are so fearful of truth being spoken by people with courage. And that is what you have here tonight, ladies and gentlemen, people with conviction and courage and honor. And I love going to conferences. We put on our own conferences at TPC. I love the conferences put on by other organizations like the League of the South and American Renaissance. But there's something about an event like this that just fills you with hope. It makes you believe that not only is victory possible, but our victory is inevitable. You come here and your morale is lifted. And morale is a very important thing. I mean, you don't want to be enlisted in a company that's marching out to battle that has no hope. you want to have morale, and morale is boosted here, and it sticks with people. It sticks with people that hear it on the radio, and it certainly sticks with me and helps keep me going. And we have here once again the man who has made all of this possible. We actually have both of them, the man who started it and the man who has continued it, the man who is putting on these events. And I just want to ask, as we affectionately refer to him as Mance Jolly, what have the people missed today? That's one of the things we like to do on these shows, is paint a verbal picture for the listening audience across the country and around the world who couldn't be in the upcountry of South Carolina tonight, what they are missing and why they need to be working on building parallel communities such as this.
You missed a such a familial relationship. A lot of people out there feel so alone. Well, whenever you're surrounded by 1,000 people, you're not alone anymore. It's been a great event, and it continues to be so. We've had a private conference here for like-minded individuals and those that wanted to learn more. We had Bouncy House, Duncan Booth with Joe Biden, Knife and Axe Throwing, Sutler's Tent. We had historical stuff. It was something for everybody, and all the food. It's just a place that you would have gone to in the 1950s. That's the feel you had, the community, the camaraderie. No strangers, just friends that hadn't met yet.
And friends of all ages, I walked around, and it was almost heartbreaking in the best sense of the word. I saw two little boys that were out playing in the field earlier today, wearing just overalls, you know, denim overalls, and they reminded me so much of myself and my brother at that age, with this just platinum blonde cotton top hair. But we have everything from senior citizens, like my good friend the Bombardier, who's sitting right here, all the way down to toddlers and people even younger than that. And it's people, not that it would be wrong. I mean, it's perfectly fine to be affiliated with a group or an organization, but these are just people from the local community who are coming here and having a good time and being who they are. It's a beautiful people. It's a people who deserve to have a future, people who deserve to survive with their culture and their traditions and their heroes and their history intact. And you, my friend, have done so much, along with Scott standing back there, to give our people something that encourages them, and the legacy that you two men specifically that I just mentioned have built. I don't know if you've had a chance to even step back and reflect on it yet, because it's still relatively so new, just a few years we've been doing this, but you're laying up your crowns in heaven.
Yes. Well, you know, just the diversity. Today I met a 3-week-old little girl, and I met a 98-year-old lady, and it was so odd. The youngster, the infant, had tears in her eyes, and whenever I spoke with the 98-year-old lady, she had tears forming in her eyes, appreciating what we're doing to keep her family alive and what they stood for.
Hear, hear.
And that speaks for all of us.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. She probably thought she might not ever see anything like this again. But this is just the beginning. I mean, I know you have plans and dreams and visions for more and bigger and better. But as I have been coming to these things for the last 3 years, it is really been a remarkable thing in my career to be able to collaborate with y'all. And, of course, I'm honored to be invited to come up here and broadcast the show. But just to see the audience reaction when we do these shows every year, it's just been tremendous all the way around. You almost do yourself a disservice to try to describe it, because it's truly something that you can only feel by being here. And when you come to this place and when you interact and engage in fellowship and collaborative efforts and camaraderie with these people, It stimulates all of your senses, your sense of sight, your sense of sound with the music and the bands outside, and your sense of smell as you walk into this, you know, beautiful cedar-scented place. Everything about this really just tugs at the heartstrings and makes you believe. It makes you believe.
It really speaks to the nature and the core being of who we are. It appeals to us because of what we have imprinted on us from our forefathers. But also, looking down at young children, we know this is what we want for them to have. I mean, whenever the last time you played in a ball field as a child, throwing a baseball, frisbee, whatever, when did you know that was the last time you were going to
exactly.
play?
Exactly, yeah. I use that sometimes.
We're going to make sure that our kids get to play.
We're going
to
believe, and we're going to make our people believe again, too. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give a big round of applause for the reason we're here tonight. Right here. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject, from the Spanish Civil War to the funding behind the transgender movement. Antelope Hill publishes books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo and brings real culture to the reading public at an affordable price. If you count yourself as a political dissident, then you owe it to yourself to check out the Antelope Hill catalog, with exclusive offerings like Rebel Mountain by Kurt Eggers, a brand new reprint of the infamous You Gentiles by Maurice Samuel, and now the treatise of a January 6th prisoner in the American regime. There is something there for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out the complete catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com. That's antelopehillpublishing.com. I'm James Edwards, and I want you to check out antelopehillpublishing.com.
In message one, we said that Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44, gave the left evil, spiritual power the more they used the lies. The political left today is the beast. Now the Bible confirms that the dragon gave him, the beast, his power. Revelation 13:2. The extra evil spiritual power that comes from the beast by their lying is what accounts for the string of the leftist criminals in the government that have never yet been prosecuted. It also explains why American capitalists support communism in the 21st century. Note 1. That behavior of capitalists was predicted by Vladimir Lenin, a cell of the beast. Note 2. Henry Ford was a capitalist, and he would have never gone communist. The difference between Ford and the present-day, end-time capitalists is that Ford was born and educated in the Kingdom of Christ, 19th century America, the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21.
We love doing these shows. You love listening to the shows. At least that's what you tell me, ladies and gentlemen. A listener in Georgia wrote last year after our Dixie Fest broadcast from the upcountry of South Carolina, your most recent show in South Carolina was the most enjoyable I've ever heard. I don't just mean the most enjoyable that TPC has ever done. I mean the most enjoyable show anyone has produced ever. You have a gift from God. Well, it wasn't me. Believe me, it was the people that are here, these beautiful, beautiful people. And as I said, you walk around and you look at the families, you look at the people of all ages that come to this event. And it makes you want to fight. It reinvigorates you. It makes you know that our people are worthy of whatever filthy offerings we can give them through our efforts. I mean, the very best is not good enough, but we will do everything we can. And you see these people, and it puts it all into perspective, does it not, Mike Gaddy? It reminds us of what we're here to do, and it is to preserve and protect our people, our kith and kin, our blood and soil.
Amen. You know, I don't think I could have even come close to saying it any better. But the one admonition I want to get out of the way before we really get started. On my program that we did from 4 to 6, we had, according to the producer, an outstanding crowd listening in, and we had two Yankees, one from Ohio, one from Michigan, call in and make donations to John Hill's program.
Wow!
And people, I've got to tell you, if the Yankees can do it, we better get off our ass and get busy and help the boy.
So what you're talking about, what he's talking about, I know listeners of this program will remember, and I see him coming right now. We just call him Hoss. Is he be like a Hoss, Eddie?
Yes, he is.
We can win with a guy like that. That's here, right here. John Hill, our friend, and, of course, the descendant of the great Confederate General A.P. Hill. He's been on our show a couple of times. We introduced him to the audience. He made his debut appearance during our Confederate History Month series back in April, and then he was back on for an update just a few weeks ago. But so he was on Michael Gaddy's show, which tell us all about it. Now, it's on Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, and it was from 4 to 6. It's every Saturday. And then you also guest host the National Intel Report on Fridays, so there's no shortage of Gaddy. Now, of course, people will remember Mike Gaddy and I. We always tell the story Mike's on. Go all the way back to 2005 with the original Minuteman Project. We were on Monday through Friday back then. He was going to a payphone on the Arizona border with Mexico, calling in every night with a report about what the operations were. That's how we first hit it off. He came to Memphis with the great Joe McCutcheon, and we did an in-studio interview there at the local station back, and we've been fast friends for the last, well, whatever 2023 minus 2005 is. 18 years, can you believe that?
Are you that old?
It goes back to the very beginning. But anyway, we got, and we stayed in touch all those years, but we've been reacquainted in an even bigger and better way through the Dixie Fest. Now, you were here with us a couple of years ago, Mike, and you guest hosted the show with me. You were the guest co-host, and you were on an intermittent every other segment as we did that broadcast from this event 2 years ago. And we had such a great night that night. But back then, to your point, we were the only show broadcasting from this event. And today, there has been nonstop radio going on since 10 o'clock this morning, a variety of different shows on a variety of different platforms and networks, and that includes, of course, your show. And it is just great to see. I think there's another one going on concurrently right now on the other other end of the building. So that's just wonderful because there is an appetite. People want to hear about things like this.
Well, the producer on RBN said that was one of my largest crowds today. And we had technical difficulties. And he was surprised with the technical difficulties we had that nobody left. They stayed. That trying to keep the attention span of an American person is kind of tough. They have the attention span of an Irish setter, and that's being tough on the dog.
I'd say goldfish, but in any event, now tell us a quick plug since we're talking about it. You were one of several shows that were broadcasting live here today. Tell us your show, when it can be found. I just mentioned it, but you can pinpoint it.
Well, you can go back and check Republic Broadcasting Network and check the archives. My Saturday program is Rebel Madman Radio, and of course I host the program on Friday afternoon, National Intelligence Report. And I try to stay with current events, and coming up soon, I've been talking with 5 surviving members of the USS Liberty. And I'm going to have them on the program. And we have been conversing for quite some time. And, they're not getting any younger. They're getting long in the tooth as well. And, of course, I had the fortune or misfortune that very same day of being at an NSA facility when the whole thing happened. And the federal government has...
Oh, really? That day that the Liberty was attacked?
Yeah, I was in Karamanmasal, Turkey, and we were on one of the large NSA that captures everything you say, do, think, or, pretend. But we had actual Hebrew linguists that were deciphering or copying down everything that the Israeli pilots said. And, of course, I do know, having been at the No Such Agency at that time, they told us a week later that what we heard and what we saw, we didn't do it. Came directly from the president. We did not hear
anything.
You
didn't hear and see what you heard and saw.
We didn't hear and see what we heard and saw.
Don't believe your lying eyes. Take their word for it.
I've talked with these gentlemen, and the gentleman that's setting it up for us is their chaplain. And he's been their chaplain.
Well, that's going to be a show that everybody's going to want to tune into because you've got the historian par excellence, my friend and yours, Mike Gaddy, teaming up with people of a, and we've talked to him too in the past, and so has Eddie, but people who survived a literal historic event. I mean, we talk about history. That was a historical event that they lived through and suffered through. I can't wait for that show, so you're going to have to keep us posted on that. But before we run out of time with you here, Mike, and I know you got to hit the road, we've got about 2 minutes left. What did we experience today? What is the message from this event that you want to convey to the audience?
We met family.
Yep.
Family members we might not have met before. Gentleman over here, beautiful lady. It was a pleasure to meet them today. And we're all members of the same family. And, it does something for your inner power, your emotions. Hey, that old song we had, the old Vietnam veteran song, I'm Not Here Alone.
Well, that's the key, I think. That's a big takeaway that I always have from these events is that you have people unaffiliated with any sort of group, people from local community. They're driving down the highway. They see a big event going on. Completely festooned with Confederate imagery and the battle flag and all sorts of other Confederate-themed visual presentations, and they're not afraid. They are not, oh, I better not go to that, better not be seen there. You had, over the course of the day, several hundred people, maybe into the low thousands that came through at some point. And again, we're talking about beautiful young families, obviously all American, wholesome people coming here. And that's the thing. If you give them a chance to be who they are, it doesn't take them long to come back, and they are coming back. And we saw it today, and we saw it again. We see it every time we come here.
Well, James, we true Southrons, as it was pronounced back when, we have something that these people wish they had. And they hate us because we have it.
Community, faith, loyalty, honor.
Yeah, it's that's something that's there. It's, just like I've been kidded about I don't drive on interstates. And I said, that's not my country. I don't like what I see on interstates. I would rather take off to rural South.
Yep.
I especially want to go through where there's more churches than there are Walgreens.
The heart of Dixie still beats in the rural South, and here it beats quite robustly. Final word to the audience, Mike. Mike Gaddy, everybody, again, a great hero. A great soldier.
A jukebox?
I called him a jukebox last night because he can play so many hits. He's got such a wealth of knowledge. You just put a quarter in, you can pick almost any chapter of history, and he'll be able to give you a great lesson on it. But, Mike, final word.
Well, I take that back to my grandfather who lived into his 100th year, and he's the one who told me about multiple conversations he had with his ancestors. He was born in 1883. As a young boy, he was many times played with by his ancestors who were Confederate soldiers. And so he's the one who instilled that in me at that time. And it meant so much to me that, you know, that happened. And as I said, he lived to be 100 and lived with me the last 5 years of his life because I made a promise to him he would never go to a rest home and that whatever it took, we'd do it. And that was, you know, meant a lot to me, and it taught me a lot about my own history. And it also taught me about Southern pride, because the Scots-Irish, buddy, they're a crazy bunch.
I tell you what, but there are a crazy bunch, and we need you to live to 100 as well, Mike, because we can't spare you. Not yet. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Mike Gaddy.
Thank you.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You, Ben. Thank you, buddy.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm John Schaefer. Six people are dead after a plane crashed early this morning in a field near the French Valley Airport in Murrieta, California. The FAA says the Cessna C-550 crashed and burst into flames. The plane had taken off from Harry Reid International Airport in Las Vegas. The FAA and NTSB are investigating. A January 6th rioter who used bear mace at the Capitol building is getting an easy break from a federal judge.
Trump-appointed U.S. District Judge Trevor McFadden sentenced Tyler Bench to probation and 60 days of home incarceration for his involvement in the riot. Prosecutors were requesting 9 months in federal prison. During the sentencing, Judge McFadden told Bench he was giving him a break and added his involvement in the riot was, quote, pretty minor. Bench's attorney said his client now hopes to start a career in law enforcement since he was only charged with misdemeanors. I'm Jim Forbes.
The Biden administration will provide cluster munitions to Ukraine in its fight against Russia.
It's a difficult decision. It's a decision we deferred. It's a decision that required a real hard look at the potential harm to civilians.
White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan defended the move, arguing the munitions are critical for Ukraine to defend its territory against Russian forces. The bombs are controversial as they explode, sending multiple munitions over a wide area. Two men, Christopher Reddick and Brandon Williams, have been arrested by Texas police for a mass shooting in Fort Worth. That shooting happened after a 4th of July celebration, resulting in 3 deaths and 8 injuries. Reddick and Williams have been charged with murder for allegedly firing into a crowd of hundreds of people. The ongoing writer's strike has halted Hollywood film and TV production with no resolution in sight. The Writers Guild of America's contract with the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers expired on May 2nd. The strike is now in its 68th day. This is USA News.
Are you or someone you love struggling with an addiction to drugs or alcohol and want to be set free from the chains of addiction? Then call Addiction Helpline America right now to get the help you need. From drug and alcohol addiction to dual diagnosis treatment, we provide a confidential helpline to help people like you get sober and live happy, substance-free lives.
Treatment helped me get my life back. I was so addicted, the only person I could focus on was myself and what I needed. I hit rock bottom and lost everything. Through treatment, I was able to overcome those demons and focus on my family again.
I used until I overdosed and almost died. That was the end of the road for me. After seeking treatment, I now have hope. I learned skills that help me deal with life. on life's terms.
800-932-1745. 800-932-1745. 800-932-1745. That's 800-932-1745.
And welcome back, everybody. The party continues here at Dixie Fest 2023. Now, I could tell you a lot of the things you missed. I mean, we're doing our best to describe it to you. But in addition to, it was really, it's always a spiritual experience here. But there's a lot of fun to be had, too. There was the biggest Confederate flag you've ever seen. We had a flag raising with a color guard, a gun and cannon salute. That sort of started the things off today. It was literally started off with a bang this morning. As was mentioned earlier, dunking booth with Joe Biden, food trucks, axe throwing, bounce house for the kids, games, giveaways, music, live bands, people getting leather work done, people just celebrating being in the company of one another, and a lot of live radio shows, a breakout conference with guest speakers and people there assembled. There has been something for everybody today, friends and family and kinsmen of all ages. And we have now back with us tonight the great Padraic Martin, author of A Walk in the Park, My Charlottesville Story, which I understand they can't keep copies of that. It's so hot. I had one guy say, did you know if I walk in the park? I thought I saw some earlier, but they're all gone. And, of course, he is the mastermind behind the Honorable Cause of Free South, which I know so many people listening tonight have received a copy of. And I told Padraic just a moment ago during the commercial break, and I want to say it to him now and to everybody listening, what an honor it has been to have collaborated with you on that particular project.
Thank you very much. You really,
the honorable call. Yes, everybody, please. Yes.
Thank you. No, and working with you has been an honor in itself. I mean, really, honestly, James, you've really led this movement in many ways, especially with the political cesspool and just really getting the message out. And to work with you on the book was just really an honor, along with you and many others. I mean, we had some fantastic contributors to that book.
Like the 12 disciples. 12's a good number for a group effort.
12's a great number. You know,
12 guys changed the world, yeah. And we're hoping to do a little bit of the same.
That's right.
Probably not as big as that particular group did, but we'll do our best.
Right.
Now, listen. I'm asking this of every guest. I ask it of every guest that comes on for this particular broadcast every year. What did the audience miss in your words?
Well, you know, for us, the League of the South had its conference. It's going to be doing conferences every quarter now where they're going to meet in different locations of the South. And we had some great speakers today. We had Mark Tomey, who's fantastic at articulating really the reason we need to divorce the South from the North, why the South should be a free South. We had Dr. Michael Hill, of course, who's been a legend really for years, a leader, a true leader, Legal South. We had Sam Dixon, who is a fantastic speaker, even though he is an Anglo-Saxon.
I'm looking at him right now. y'all have this Anglo-Saxon Irish.
That's right. All right, and he is truly a fantastic speaker, and I do like messing with him a little bit. And, of course, I spoke as well.
And he likes to be messed with.
Yeah, that's right. and I had my speech as well, and my speech was really about why we need to, even as angry as we are, rightfully angry as we are, it's now time for us to really begin building our people in a very positive way and start working on our young men and really developing them to become the future leaders they need to be.
Now, you mentioned the breakout conference today. Great speakers, including Michael Hill. And that's another thing. I mean, and that's not just one radio show. Now you're having conferences. You're having, you know, really right. A star-studded event now with people like you and Sam and Michael and others. Mark Tomey, as you just mentioned, who every time he comes on, he just impresses the hell out of me.
Yep.
But give people a little snapshot as to what your message was during your presentation today.
Sure. You know, one of the things that's been around for a long time, you know, we look at everything that's happening right now, transgenderism. We see the little children that are being exploited, sexually exploited. We see the manipulation around the United States in general of what's going on, the degeneracy and so forth. And we, of course, see the targeting of white people throughout the country right now. You see this mass targeting, and it is infuriating, and it's angering, and that's healthy to have that righteous indignation. It's understandable, but we cannot allow it to blind us from doing what we need to do to build an alternative, to be the secession movement we can be. We need to start building our people, our young men. We need to be teaching them how to be men. We need to teach women how to be women. We need to begin building families, working together, seceding today as individuals, each one of us working towards a future that we can envision. And until we start working on that future, we're not going to go anywhere. We're just going to be talking about why we're mad. There's plenty of people that are mad. We get it. We understand it. But now it's time to start building on something bigger and better. And that's what my message is all about.
One of the things that I loved about the conference was how everybody was, as I am, very optimistic about the chances that we're going to have for reclamation of our destiny in the future. It's not going to happen without some tough times and some suffering. But it seemed as though the consensus was it was unanimous that we've got a chance to turn this thing around within our lifetimes at this late stage of decline, that opportunities could soon present themselves that have been missing for obviously many decades.
Yeah, amen. It looks like the train's coming off the tracks, really. I mean, if you think about how fast this is going. The United States right now cannot meet its recruitment goals anymore. That military is starting to fall apart. The U.S. economy is now, thank the Lord. That's one of my big missions, by the way, is stopping U.S. military recruitment. We have a big drive going out this fall to try to target areas that have high recruitment area potential. We're going to be targeting those areas to make sure those young men stay home and start building on trades, building families, building futures for themselves, and not becoming blood bags for Wall Street. That's what we're going to be working on this coming fall in a very big program this fall coming up. But on top of that, too, when you look at it, the economy right now, we got a $34 trillion debt and growing every minute. The U.S. dollar had several rounds of quantitative easing, and it cannot control inflation. So the economy is coming off the roof. We've got bigger competitors coming around the world as far as the BRICS and so forth are concerned. And, of course, soft power as well. We no longer export our culture because our culture is a degenerate behavior and the rest of the world is beginning to reject it. Thank the Lord for that, by the way. You know, people in Saudi Arabia and people in China and people in Malaysia and people in India do not want to see men kissing each other on screen. They just don't want to see that kind of stuff. They don't want their little boys to chemically castrate themselves. And so they are rejecting those movies. And so now you're starting to see the United States begin to collapse in real time. And I think as the United States collapses, this is when we need to be ready to step in and take our rightful place as a free and independent Dixie.
And you laid out in the preface and in the closing remarks of the book, The Honorable Cause, a real workable path that we can be implementing in our own homes and in our own communities right now that will lead us to this outcome that we hope. And what do we hope for? We hope that our people can survive. We're not looking to harm or otherwise cause suffering to anybody else, but we do love our families more than we love other families. And I think that if you love other people more than you love your own kith and kin, your own wife, your own children, your own people, there's something very flawed with you. But we do want our people to survive, and our people are not going to survive in this system. This system seeks to destroy our faith, which will kill our people. It's so degenerate now. It's dysgenic in many ways. It's degenerate in every way. But as you just mentioned, this latest kick with transgenderism, we have to separate. We have to be gone from this system. Amen. And remove this from this system. And you lay out a way that it can practically be done in the book, The Honorable Cause. So if there's anybody out there who has not yet got a copy of this book, how can they do it, Patrick?
Well, they can go on Amazon. Amazon, we were able to kind of keep ourselves somewhat clean. So you can go on Amazon and buy it on Amazon, The Honorable Cause of Free South. Or you can also go to Dixie Republic. Dixie Republic carries copies of it right here in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. Reach out to them. They do have copies of the book themselves. Again, you can buy The Honorable Cause of Free South, 12 Southern Essays, right here at Dixie Republic.
And if you're listening and if you ever have a chance to come by the store, you can pick up, and I'm looking at them right now. Again, it's radio, not television, but through my eyes, if you could see, I'm looking at copies of The Honorable Cause signed by Patrick Martin himself. I devalued it by adding my signature, but they are here. They are for sale. And we have had listeners all the way from Brazil that have come to this store because they've heard it on the political cesspool.
Wow, that's fantastic. That is great.
I think Scott may have met our Brazilian comrades when they were up here some years ago. So I know a lot of people have not just ordered products from Dixie Republic from afar, but have actually made the time if they're in this area of the upcountry to swing by. So yes, if you are here or you can get here, or you're near here and you can be here, you can get the copies right here in person.
Yep,
and you can cut Amazon out.
Absolutely.
Which is
yeah, exactly. Jeff Bezos does not need your money, but we can certainly use it at Dick's Republic. So let's give them some support. Paul and Lynn are fantastic people.
Amen. Amen. Final word, Patrick.
You know, there's a lot of work to be done in 2023 because 2024 is coming about fast. 2024 will be the year in which I do not believe the Republicans will win the election. I don't think Republicans are going to save us anyway, but I don't think they're going to win in November. I think what's going to happen is on that first Wednesday in November, there's going to be a lot of very disappointed people wondering what happened, just like they did in 2022 with a number of Senate races. We need to be ready to take them in. We need to be ready to lead them. We need to be able to prepare them for the future that's going to happen, and that future is going to be a free South, and we want to make sure they're part of that.
If you believe it, ladies and gentlemen, let us know it with your voice and with your applause. Do you believe that we're going to have a free South? Yeah, come on. Yeah, we're waiting for the hand to go. There. We will have a free South. We will.
Amen.
We will prevail. Patrick Martin, I'm shaking the hand of the great and good Patrick Martin.
Always a pleasure,
okay,
James.
Thank you, my friend. We'll be back again, ladies and gentlemen. Sit tight. We'll be right back from South Carolina.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Welcome back. We're having a great time in South Carolina, as we always do. And I meant to mention to Patrick, he just stepped out, obviously, after the last segment. But when I got here this morning, we've been here since 10 a.m. And everybody knows, if you're a regular listener to the show, I frequently complain about the sauna-type heat that we get in the South every summer. And it was another as bad as it gets day in terms of the heat and the humidity. And I rolled up, and I'm in a t-shirt and shorts, one of these breathable, athletic shirts and shorts, because it's too hot. But Patrick, I see Patrick, and he's wearing this beautiful suit, he's just dressed to the hilt. And I know he lost about 15 pounds today, and he had to go home. And we'll have to get him back. We'll have to get him back in the second hour. I was going to add, there was one other thing I wanted to make mention of with him, in addition to the heat, and now he withstood it. But we've got now the John Hill. John Hill back for the third time this year, third time since April, in fact. Of course, the closest living descendant of General A.P. Hill, third time on the radio, our first time to be together. How you doing, John?
Very good. Thanks for having me.
Nah, thank you for coming. And you've been doing, you've been making the media circuit today. I know you've been on three or four shows today, spreading the good word about your ancestor and your efforts. Mm-hmm. But before we get to that, remind everybody what you're doing and how they can be a part of your endeavor's success. Tell the people what they missed today.
It was an awesome event. I still haven't stopped sweating yet.
No, I just started. Hey, my audience knows how much I don't like. We weren't made for this. We were made for Northern European climates. But even though we've been here for 400 years, we were in Europe longer. And maybe at some point we'll take to this. But it hadn't quite happened yet. But I've sweated all day. I'm still sweating. But I've enjoyed the event so much, even mm-hmm. I, who hates this weather, it hasn't slowed us down, has it?
Nope. I mean, if they got me an air mattress, I'd gladly live here.
It's that kind of place.
Yeah.
So how would you describe this event to the people? What have been your takeaways? Let me ask you that. Your takeaways from what you've seen, what you've experienced, the people you've talked to. What's going on?
Southern pride. I mean, everybody's been happy to be here, and there's no bad apples here, and everybody's like family, and it's been a great event.
I was in conversation with somebody at some point. I've been here since Thursday, so this is, and we haven't slept since Thursday. it's been nonstop, one thing after another. But I often say I don't really believe that our enemies believe what they write about our people. I don't think that they really believe that. I believe that they are so motivated by hate, and they have given themselves over to Satan, really, that they know nothing but lies. I don't know if they believe it or not. I don't think that they do. But if any curious observer were to come and to talk to the people that are here, there is no way they could walk away saying these people are motivated by hate and not love for their people and a love to keep their people alive and safe and protected and continuing on.
They'd walk out of here with a Confederate flag.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
And a couple flags.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So, but you feel that certainly when you're here.
Yeah,
with the company that you get to meet, and every time I come here, we see old friends that we've met several many times before. You always meet new friends too, and so tell us why you came down though. I mean, in addition to just obviously being here for the event, you're here with the cause.
Yeah, I drove almost 10.5 hours, and 100% worth it. I came to meet you and do some radio interviews to spread awareness about my business I started, AP Hill Legacy Foundation. And you can go on the website, aphilllegacyfoundation.org. And you can find me also on Twitter at JohnnyReb1989. And then my Instagram is Johnny_Reb_CSA.
As I listen to John speak, I'm hearing the band outside on the front deck. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful atmosphere, people coming together. And celebrating their identity. Now, I was bragging about you earlier to somebody in conversation. I don't even remember who it was, but I said, this is what he's doing. And I said, that is an amazing thing. Honor thy father and thy mother, as we are commanded to do. I said, there's no way it's going to happen. In 150 years, nobody will ever know that I ever existed. But I said, I wish in 150 years I had an ancestor that would travel the country raising awareness about my life and what I was able to do. Now, certainly I haven't been able to do as much as AP Hill, but the fact that here you are 150 years later honoring your ancestors, that is something that is entirely commendable.
I just feel it's my duty.
But not just honoring them, but traveling and sweating and traveling on your own dime to raise awareness and do interviews and give speeches. And not just that, although you have a wonderful presentation that you give with a lot of artifacts from the life of General A.P. Hill, who I don't want to say he's Lee's forgotten general. I mean, he was a larger-than-life figure. And there were a lot of Confederate generals. People say, well, there was only three Confederate generals. It was like Lee and Jackson and Forrest. That was about it. I mean, there was a lot of Confederate generals. But A.P. Hill was obviously one at the top of the list. But he's not as immediately well-known as, some of those other names. But that's what you're working to change. In fact, you say you want him to be remembered right alongside General Lee.
Yeah, I want him to be a household name like Lee and Jackson. The main reason why he wasn't remembered is because after he passed away, April 2nd, 1865.
Right at the very week of the war.
The first biography to ever be written about him wasn't until 1957. His wife was too upset to talk about him after the war. Mm-hmm. So almost all of his papers and journal burned up. So almost 100 years after the war is when they finally released a biography about him.
And, of course, as you mentioned and as we got into with some detail, everybody's just coming on for a segment tonight. You were on for a full hour in Confederate History Month, came back for a follow-up interview a few weeks ago for a half hour. But you received the remains of A.P. Hill as General Forrest. They had their graves desecrated. They were reinterred and removed. Most despicable, but I do say the consolation to that is they have been moved to places where they can truly rest in peace. But so you are his national caretaker. You received the remains and transmitted them to where he's now been reinterred. Yeah. But you're also working to put a monument up. We lament, you know, obviously oftentimes when the statues and the monuments to our heroes are taken down by these wicked governments and evil people. But there's going to be one that's going to be going up, a brand new one that's to be made. And you, obviously that's what that's another thing that you're working on.
I feel it's my duty. I exhumed General Hill's remains. I was his pallbearer. I'm now his national guardian. I do two-hour presentations all over the country. And the main thing I want to do is raise funds to erect a monument for him. And it's going to be going to Lee Jackson Memorial Park just north of Lexington.
So it's going Lexington.
Yeah,
that's wonderful.
They can't have it at the cemetery, Fairview Cemetery. I guess they don't have enough room by his grave because there's a little bit of a hill and a slope, so they don't have room for it there.
All right, but it will be put up in Lexington, which obviously is a very historic.
It's on private. It's private property. It's owned by the SCV, and the monument will be in my name 100%.
Wow!
So if anything happens, I'll have a flatbed there the next day, and it's going to my backyard.
I don't think anything's going to happen. But no, we certainly want to have these works of art put up to where people can reflect before them and think about, you know, the men that they are there to bring to mind. So what's the process of getting a monument made and erected and put up? I mean, it's not just, you don't just go buy one at the store.
No, you have to find a good artist. What they do is they give you a drawing, which is a rendering, and I approve of my design, and then they're going to go do a clay sculpture. And then they make a casting based off the sculpture, and then it goes to a foundry and gets poured brass. And it costs usually about $70,000 to $90,000.
Yeah, they're not cheap.
For the one I'm doing. It's going to be a 6-foot life-size statue of A.P. Hill, and it's going to be on a smaller marble base. It's not going to be up on a pedestal, so people can actually come take pictures with him.
It's going to be in a fighting position as well, something that stokes the ember of we got to get out there and fight for these
things. Real quick, I'll say A.P. Hill hated uniforms. He hated wearing them. He wore battle shirts that were sewn by his wife. He had 2 single-shot horse pistols, one on each hip, 2 1851 Navy Colts tucked in his belt, a large fighting knife, and a saber. And he had a slouch hat pulled low on his brow. So he was a mini arsenal.
Well, I loved getting to know him a little bit better, you know, so to speak, when you were up for your original presentation back in April. But what are some of the elements of his life that we would do well to emulate in our own as we continue on with this cause and at home and at work and on the streets and wherever?
His gallantry, his bravery, and how humble he was. I mean, he seized the colors, turned to his men, said, "Damn you, if you don't follow me, I'll die alone," and rode into the enemy full speed, and they all followed him. And after the Battle of Fredericksburg, him and his light division donated $10,000 to the citizens, which is over $293,000 today.
Wow. So that was the battle we won.
Yeah. If everybody could be 1/8 as good as A.P. Hill.
So he's fighting the battle. He's literally fighting the war and
donating money. Yeah.
And giving money to the people. Yeah, now that actually is a takeaway that I think that we should all apply. Go out and apply yourself. Not everybody has the opportunity to do what you're doing. Everybody that's on the program tonight has different talents and abilities and ways to engage in the struggle. But do all of that and support the work of others. I mean, because we are all in this together. Hang. What's the old quote? We're going to hang together. We'll surely hang separately. we're not going to be doing.
So that. Any descendants of Ambrose Burnside, if anybody knows, he still owes A.P. Hill $8,000 that he borrowed.
Could you collect that now?
Well, if somebody wants to donate that's related to Ambrose Burnside, they want to donate for the monument, we'll call it even. Because that was pre-war.
That'd be 10%. Oh, yeah. So you're going to adjust
it
for inflation?
Over 200,000, yeah. So we'll have a big monument for him.
Well, you should sue the estate. I mean, you are the heir. Yeah. So that would get that monument funded lickety-split.
Yeah.
All right, John, we got about a minute remaining before we go into our second hour, wrapping up the first hour here, and it's An hour already? Does it seem like an hour?
No.
thank you for saying that. Final word to the audience. Any other takeaways from the event or anything you'd like to share? Certainly plug the information where people can get on board with this new monument.
If you'd like to donate to what Richmond stole from AP Hill, go to aphilllegacyfoundation.org. My P.O. box is on there if you want to send a check, or there's a donation link. It has a biography that I typed up about AP Hill and some pictures, and once I get access to a desktop, I'll add more to the website. I kind of made it all on my phone.
Yeah, you showed it to me the other day, and you said, well, it doesn't, you know, we're just kind of getting started. I thought it looked really good. I thought it was fully functional and ready to go.
There was a lot of swear words involved.
You did it all over your phone.
Yeah.
Well, give us the website one more time.
aphilllegacyfoundation.org.
All right, support the work. We want to raise more works of art and monuments to our heroes. It is important to remember our heroes. And you are a loyal and faithful descendant one of our heroes here in the South. John Hill, everybody, give him a big round of applause. We'll be back with the second hour next.